In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back in 1990, a religious news service article concerning church membership stated this: one conservative denomination that bucked the conservative growth trend was the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which lost 10,157 members, a 0.39% drop to 2,604,278. Well, 1994 wasn't much better. The reporter recently told us that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod now has the fewest members since 1961. I suppose there are as many reasons for this as there are experts to inform us of what those reasons are. Perhaps paving parking lots. Perhaps putting higher wattage light bulbs in the sanctuary. Perhaps adopting a corporate mindset with catchy logos and slogans and catering to an entertainment-oriented culture. Perhaps all of this will solve the problem. Perhaps. But no. Could there be more basic problems than those external things to which we can apply quick and easy solutions? What does it mean to be the church, the body of Christ? What does it mean to be pastors of that church? Can we see the world as Jesus himself sees the world? Can we see that his harvest is now? The gospel reading that was just read is set in the middle of Jesus' encounter with a group of people known as the Samaritans. Before these words were spoken, he had interacted with a woman, a Samaritan woman, who had come to Jacob's well. This woman was so captivated by the words of Jesus that her impulse was to go back to the village and to begin to tell others of what Jesus had said to her. There had been a seed that was sown that day by Jesus himself, a seed that was implanted in the heart of this woman, and a seed which would bring forth a harvest. But the disciples, as they often did, missed the point of what Jesus was saying. Their concern was bodily food. They said, "Rabbi, let's eat." Jesus says, "Don't you know that there's more important things than this food that you're speaking of?" Jesus, the incarnate God, had sown seed. He had been busy sowing that seed since the world's foundations. He had sown it through Moses. He had sown it through John the Baptizer. And he himself had brought that gracious word as he walked among the people. Although others had been instruments in the sowing, it was always Jesus who was the true sower. But the disciples were still confused. You see, Jesus had done something which probably offended them. After all, he had spoken with a Samaritan woman. Now, she was different on two counts. First, she was a woman, and worst of all, she was a Samaritan. Jesus had just broken one of the cardinal principles called homogeneity of the SGM, the Synagogue Growth Movement. And so Jesus pointed them to the agricultural parable which absolutely surrounded them in the fields. They saw there a growing crop, and they assumed that it would be yet 4 months until the harvest. In their minds, the sowing had taken place, but the reaping was yet to come. So Jesus said, "Do you not say that there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest." Coming towards them were the residents of that village. That woman had gone and spoken of Christ. And now the people were coming out to see this one whose story they had heard. The first fruits of a harvest that would extend from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world was now being reaped. So what does this have to do with the church? And what does it have to do with you and with me, pastors and future pastors of the church? It's within the church that the true sower and the true reaper is found. She, the church, is the bride of Christ, a bride bought not with silver and gold, but with his holy and precious blood. She is his baptized community of saints, crucified, risen with him. She alone possesses the office of the keys in that everlasting gospel. And she alone is commissioned to take the message of Jesus Christ out into the world and there to sow that message. Yet it is not her own word that she ever proclaims. It's the word of the one whose body she is. When the church places appeal over content, conformity over substance, she has forgotten what her role is, and as a result, she is weakened and impoverished. And while you and I sit around debating methodologies and how we're going to do it, there lies out in the field a crop that is rotting because no one is out there telling them that the reaper has come. The sowing of the seed is her role as the instrument of the true sower, Jesus Christ. And as we sit here this morning, even now, a harvest is being gathered, a harvest of the Lord. Every time that water of baptism is applied, a harvest is reaped. Every time God's gracious word of absolution is spoken and those eternal words ring out, "Your sin is forgiven," a harvest takes place. Every time the people of God gather around his altar to be fed by him in that great Eucharistic feast, a harvest is reaped. And in that, the sower and the reaper rejoice together. No other tool is needed. Nothing can ever add to what Christ has given to his church. While those called to be part of the sowing and reaping sit around and debate methodology, that harvest waits. That harvest which is harvested by word and sacrament. That's all the church has. And beloved in Christ, that is all the church needs. Lift up your eyes and see how the fields are white for harvest. And we rejoice together. Amen.